They're zapping each other. They're zapping each other. They're zapping each other. They're zapping each other. We all don't have to figure that out anymore. With Bitcoin, you kind of establish the principle of like, okay, these are my basic principles. We all don't have to figure that out anymore. We have Bitcoin. And all the people that are on Twitter are still talking about Bitcoin. That Bitcoin Twitter space, it's still the same group of people. You know, it's suits. It's people who are watching the price in dollars. And all the people on Nostr, I think, are kind of, we're moving past that. And we're more of like, okay, let's get this thing started. Let's start using it. Let's make the economy. That's what I want to be a part of.
It really feels like the platform for the value for value. I mean, people, you always hear about people having, all people have so many questions about how Bitcoin scales, and there's so many fears around it. But the way I see it is it scales like a thousand different ways, you know, and some of it involves third parties custody, and some of it, you know, like there's so many ways to interact with Bitcoin, and I don't find there to be an issue with any of it. It just really comes down to your preference. But that exchange that happens on Nostr with the zaps, I mean, that is such a powerful mechanism for exchange of all types. My wife she's been selling stuff on Etsy for quite a while, and she's slowly starting to find connections on, what are the Nostr sites, like Shopster, I think, or...
Yep, Shopster, there was Plebeian Market.
Plebeian Market, yeah, that's one of the ones she's using for sure. And it's just so beautiful, and there's something really magical about it. I don't know like what it is. It's just I'm a Bitcoin miner, but it's not about like mining a bunch of Bitcoin to save forever and make $1 billion or something. It's really like, it just feels like this little generator that runs all the time, and it just kind of funds my whole Bitcoin experience. And as much as I can, I love transacting in Bitcoin, but I want to do it for goods, services, and for art, and for value for value. I don't want to sell everything. It for dollars. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You don't want to sell it for dollars. You want to sell it for goods. Like,
yeah, that was kind of the whole point. I saw someone post yesterday on Nostr about how Satoshi, you know, never would have envisioned Nostr. And it's an interesting thought, because it's like, it feels now at this point, it feels so vital. Like because I don't want to see Bitcoin just become digital gold or whatever. Like I'm not a fan of the way it's being, you know, the Michael Saylor crap, and, you know, it being like this other asset to hold against dollars. Like I want the full blown transformation. I want to see the whole world change. And I really don't think there's anything that can stop that change. So it's just, now there's just opportunities everywhere. And I think everyone has like skills to give, like everyone has passions. Everyone has some kind of art to share. Everyone has something to share, like directly with individuals, where they're not giving their time away. And that's the kind of stuff I want to talk about. And with you, so I've checked out your website a little bit. Bread and Toast, there's a link up in the top, up there in the top left, there should be some links, and it should be up there. Definitely go check it out. Tell us a little bit about Bread and Toast. I've spent a little bit of time on there looking through stuff, and I like everything that's art. I love characters. I love stories. So I'm definitely into it. You actually inspired me to want to get into doing digital art, because I'm like, oh, I want to draw something up for these guys and send it to Dan and see if he wants to share. Like, because I have a hard time. Like, I've learned with my creativity, it's like I'm good at responding or kind of reacting to something else, or it's like I have to have some sort of something to inspire me, or have some kind of general vision to work with, or else I just kind of get lost in confusion. But yeah, anyways, I found it kind of inspiring, and I thought it was a cool, you know, I think it's a cool thing. And tell us a little bit about how that came to be and what's going on with Bread and Toast.
So I'm mostly digital art. That's where kind of like my expertise is.
growing up with different software programs and messing with Photoshop and just kind of learning all that tools of the trade. And I grew up kind of a big comic book guy. So, you know, there's like a deep appreciation for the storytelling through like pictures like that. And I guess it was always, that was just, it was the dream, you know, it's like, okay, I want to make my own thing. I want to put it out in the world. And the hardest part is really just coming up with that idea. Like, okay, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to make? What are you going to build? What's this story that you want to tell? And back near the end of 2020, I had enough Bitcoin saved up where I felt like I could quit my job for a while. Like, not like I was gonna like be able to live the rest of my life off of what, you know, what my stack or whatever, but I needed to take a break from kind of like the public life. I was working in that gas station job I was telling you about. You know, people were getting really mean at the end of 2020. Everybody was angry. Everybody had a reason to be angry. So I finally just, I was like, okay, I gotta go. And it wasn't like I was working for bad people. The people I worked for, they took care of me so well. You know, they helped me out with my personal struggles. And so during that year and a half, I came up with this idea called Bread and Toast. And I started writing a story, and I still have the script saved away in the files. And I was, you know, after like a year of writing and messing with it, I was like, okay, like I think I have something here. I just didn't know how I was going to get it out. You know, so I bought I registered the domain names, breadandtoast.com, as well as toastandbread.com. And I just kept those on hold because I'm like, okay, like as long as I have them. And then I realized that I just wasn't as good a draftsman as I wish I was. And when I say that, I mean like with a pencil, with a pen, like drawing something up. My skills were more using like the software tools to like assist photo editing and graphic design, like logo, more logo style kind of artwork. Very commercial. And so with the singles, I was like, I just started drawing these characters. I'm like, okay, well, what are they going to look like? And I realized that once I had Noster, I was like, oh, you know what I can do is I can just like put out a drawing every Sunday, kind of like how you'd see on someone's Instagram. Except now that we have Noster, I can put it out on the open protocol. And I'm also like, I'm in control of everything. I'm not worried about it. You know, I have the NSEC and nobody else has that NSEC to the Bread and Toast NPUB. I got the domain name. So it's like, okay, cool. I got the website locked down. And once I started putting out the Sunday singles, I just kind of kept going on a roll. And that's been the backbone of the project so far. And I definitely have some bigger aspirations for it, but I've kind of kept those close to the vest a little bit simply because I don't want to end up being one of those people who talks about what they're going to do and then nothing comes of it.
Yeah. And I think that's smart. I'm of the opinion that it's important to keep things for yourself, especially when it comes to creative aspirations. I think that our visions are like when we open ourselves up to other people's opinions, our inputs, it's like it can kind of hamper or like distort our own clarity.
Yeah, your own vision kind of gets a little like, oh, okay, now I have opinions coming in. And it's like you're putting on different shades of glasses and you're like, oh, now it's got a different color. Like,
right. And oftentimes people they project their own insecurities on you or say they're not following their dreams or passion. So they want to tell you why you can't do your thing. It's like right. a lot of things that I'm doing the way I live right now. If I was sharing that with people, everyone would tell me you're crazy. You can't do that. And it's just not so, but you know, that's like part of, that's why they say magicians never reveal their secrets. And it's kind of like, whether you believe in magic or not, manifestation could be kind of seen as magical because you're kind of like, you know, you're holding this vision in your mind's eye and putting a positive energy into it. And when we share too much, we're opening that vision up to other people's criticisms, their fears and doubts. And so I think that's smart to keep some of it to yourself.
Yeah, I just want to like kind of protect the core idea of it all for myself, you know, and that's not to say that I haven't taken other people's opinions or heard anybody's thoughts on things. And, you know, and if you've checked out Bread and Toast, I mean, we're coming up on, it's been a year and a half now of the project. And when I started it, I would have never thought that I would have had so many other people kind of submitting artwork and participating. And that's kind of what's happened. And that's really special. And I'm not going to reject any of that. I think if anything, that only boosts what I'm doing. But as far as like that core idea, that's definitely what I got to keep safe. And then as I reveal it and release it, you know, I think it's going to be that much more special because it's not been this whole like, oh yeah, we keep hearing that this thing, you know, I think that happens way too much nowadays is you hear all these announcements for things. And then by the time you get to it, you're kind of like, whatever. I'm kind of already sick of it.
Yeah, that was a struggle on the last podcast I had. It's like the partner I was with, he was like a hype guy. And it's like, he always wanted to put out another trailer. It's like, dude, we got to, at some point, we just got to do the thing, you know?
You got to make the movie, right? Like, you know. Yeah.
And there is like a balance between like putting yourself out there, but also I like to kind of be a little bit unpredictable. Like I don't work super well with structure. It's weird because I feel like I need a plan, but I also like to kind of go with the flow. But that's like, I think that's kind of probably a personal choice and how people move about their creative endeavors. Yeah, I'm kind of learning to put myself out there. Honestly, like Noster is the first place where I felt like good about sharing myself. And I've gotten such a positive response and I'm amazed at like some of the connections I've already made. And it just feels like so much more real. It feels like there's like real connections happening. You know, I've never like met somebody on Twitter and ended up like getting a direct line to them, you know, to have like a conversation over the phone or something. And that's
right. Everybody on Twitter is a stranger and they stay that way.
Yeah. It's weird because on one hand, it's like on Noster, we tend to be like more private. A lot of people just kind of go by a nim and they may not want to put their face on and stuff. But then when you do make connections, they're like much more real. It's interesting.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think I said this to you the other day. One of the things I've appreciated about you is like, I've gotten to see your face. I know like we were talking about the anonymous thing, you know, a lot of people that are into Noster, you know, they do want to kind of stay behind the curtain a little bit at first. But that's one more thing I don't want to have to worry about is having to hide myself. And I think Noster finally allows me to kind of put myself out there in the fullest respect. And if someone doesn't like what I have to say, if someone doesn't like what I'm posting, if they don't like anything I'm posting from any NPub, it's like you mute it. You know, you mute it, you never look at it again. I do the same thing with other people. You know, there's been a couple times where like, oh, I've seen some things where like, it was like, okay, this guy keeps spamming my posts or this guy's posting something inappropriate and I don't want to see it anymore. You know, I'm not following him, but it's like, okay, mute. All right. And I haven't seen him since. It's like, all right, cool. I'm in control.
Yeah, that's powerful. And, I think it's a real, It's like a metaphor for how we can like govern ourselves on a wider scale. Like, I don't think we need strict rules and regulation. It's like occasionally I've seen stuff on Nostr where someone uses a hashtag that they really shouldn't, right? It's like, I've seen really messed up stuff. Like,
they post something really like an inappropriate picture and they're using a hashtag that they shouldn't, like that's for something else. They're just trying to get their thing out right there.
But it's like 99% of everyone's going to see that and block them, right? And mute them.
Right.
So it's like a self-correcting mechanism. It's like we don't need to have strict rules and regulations and overseers and gatekeepers, because generally, I find that generally like people in real life are like kind-hearted and like mean well. Like we all kind of have different programming, and some of us are wrapped up in silly competitive thinking, or you know, some of us are overly political, whatever, we all have our bias and stuff, but it's like generally there's certain things that are like generally like people are like, oh, like that's fucked up, you know, they're posting a picture of a little kid or something, like that's just unacceptable, and like 99.9% of people are going to recognize that and banish that thing, and it's like a, you know,
I don't want to see it.
Yeah,
and we're going to make sure nobody sees it,
right? And it's,
and you know, another cool thing is like I use Amethyst as my, probably as my primary client on my phone here. And if I mute somebody, you know, it pops up a bunch of other people I follow, and it's like, oh, this person is also reported or muted this person. You know, like there's like the ETHFi one that's posting a lot right now, spamming everybody. And I muted it this morning, like did the whole block thing. And, you know, and then it showed me like, Pup down in the audience here, like Pup also did that. It's like, okay, like everybody is getting rid of this person, like this account, whatever.
And there's that web of trust, right? It's like, do you use the App Store?
I've used it like once or twice.
I love it.
Like I bought soap from Soap Miner.
Well, I'm talking like about the App Store.
Oh, the Zap Store. Like, oh, yeah, I've used that. Yeah, okay. I have that on my phone here.
Like, I love that because you can, like, look up an app and it tells you who, like, approves of it. Like, that web of trust element is, like, I mean, that means so much more to me than, like, oh, Facebook approves this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah, I really try to restrict myself. I also have, like, F-Droid and, you know, there's third-party app stores that'll let you download stuff if you really need it. But I try to stick to the open source free stuff that's on there where you can just zap the developer and have direct contact. I mean, that's, like, just another great example of the whole Nostr thing. I love it. It feels so good. Like, and I love not having 10 million options. I would rather just have a few options that are really good that people in my community like agree, like, hey, this is a good way to, you know, a good tool. I love Amethyst as well.
I was originally a Domus guy, but since I switched over to Android, Amethyst has been my go-to, and it's like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. It's good at everything.
Everything with it.
And it runs well. It's super. When I first got into Nostr, I think I first got my NPub like 2.5 years ago or something. And man, it was a way different experience. But it's come a long way, and it's so beautiful to see this thing being built out. Just from people just wanting to contribute. You know, it's like people contribute first. And you and I talked about this the other day. I really think like the best exchange is where you give first and then you get back on an incremental basis because you offered a good thing, versus kind of the Western fiat mindset is like basically trick people into signing up for your thing, loop them in with a free product, and then it's like the whole cloud thing. It's like I was such a big Google fanboy, man. I had Google Homes all over my house. I was talking to my light switches and turning on my TV, and I had the doorbell. I had everything. My sprinklers were like everything in my house was smart and Google-fied.
And it's cool tech. Like, it's not that it's not cool tech. It's just like the fact that it's like, okay, it's a part of the empire here.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's beautiful is like, I love technology. I still use smart outlets and stuff, but everything I'm using is not part of that. It's, you know, it's outside. It's like running on my own infrastructure. You could run your own home assistant server on a Raspberry Pi and have all your devices linked to that. See a question about desktop browser. I'm really liking Satellite Earth because they have a media upload server where you pay for the amount of data you use over time versus like a subscription. And it's buggy sometimes, but it's also got a focus on Nostr communities, which I think is going to be eventually a big deal. And I think that's linked to what you were telling me about, Dan, the articles NIP.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure I answer that question real quick. So just for anybody who's listening, we got someone in the audience, Snacks, that asked, do you guys use any Nostr app on the desktop/browser? And I use quite a variety. Obviously, we're using Corny Chat right now, which has probably been one of the best apps for meeting people, just like because you actually have that clear communication. But then, like when I make bread and toast posts, I'm using an application called Obsidian. It's a desktop application, and it really had nothing to do with Nostr, but someone made a community plugin, which allows me to like, so I can write up all of my notes for bread and toast, get them prepared, get everything ready to go. And then when the time comes, like it's hooked up to relays with my NSEC and everything like that. And I can just post directly from there. So like this morning, for example, it's like, okay, I already had today's post ready to go. I just had to bring up that application on my laptop here, select it, and then I can ship it right out to all the relays right from there. And what was that called? Highly recommend it.
Obsidian.
Yeah. So Obsidian's the application, and then there's a Nostr plugin that you like add on to it.
I've heard good things about Yaki Hone. It's been glitchy.
Oh, Yakahone.
Yakahone. Yeah. I haven't have issues working on my browser or something, or it might be this Linux thing I'm running. I don't know. I'll have to check it out again. And Obsidian, that's cool. Another quick thing I wanted to bring up with you, just because that's one of the ways we connected, and I'm a big fan of yoga. I'm kind of opening up to it. I it's been like kind of in my peripheral for quite a while, but it's only been in the last like couple of weeks where I've kind of committed to where I'm like, I want to be doing it multiple times a week. And I'm kind of curious. You said that you told me that when you started, it was kind of like a more fitness focused type of practice that you fell into when you were pretty young because of people you knew around you. And I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, I was probably like 10 when I first started doing yoga, and it was all workout focused because of like the people we were around.
Yeah. So how do you feel about it in terms of like, how has your perspective on it shift? Do you see it any differently now? And how do you feel about a practice that is more like focused on some of kind of the more spiritual practice of it, or, you know, like slower paced, more kind of like learning to be calm and like very present with movements and breath and all that. Like, has your like perspective on it shifted and recently, like in terms of interacting with anybody in the yoga community recently?
Yeah, absolutely. I think specifically with Heather, because, you know, all my yoga in the past couple of years, I don't really go out to classes anymore. I just have like a bunch of old DVDs that I ended up burning, and now they're on my server. And, you know, it's like, okay, you can start those up and start doing a yoga class, you know? And it's like, I've done it 100 times, same class over and over again, but it's very workout focused. And then, you know, Heather Larson, she started her Yogastr sessions last year. And when I saw that announcement, I probably got more excited than I should have. Not that it didn't live up to it. It definitely did. Like, it's definitely become a pivotal part of my life. But when I started taking her classes, It's also like 8 o'clock at night on a Monday for me whenever she does it. So I have to kind of like, I kind of need it to be more relaxed. And I think her focus, I think what she said when she was on your show here was that she's very like traditional. And I think I started focusing on the whole breath more. Mm-hmm. I think in the past I was more of just like, okay, you're just trying to stretch as deep as you can, like as hard as you can. And sometimes as fast as you can, because it's a workout, you know, you're moving, you keep going. And I think with these classes, I've really been able to kind of like slow down, relax. And, you know, even before I joined the room here, you know, for 10 minutes or so, I kind of did some breathing exercises, and it's really kind of helped me out tremendously, especially given my medical issues. Like, it's just, it's like, okay, I'm kind of coming back to center with myself. You know, you're slowing down, you're cooling down, you're retaining your focus. And I think that's been just a tremendous benefit to me. And then not only that, just the fact that I'm probably like more part of a yoga community than I've ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably since like I was a kid, like it's been a long time. So.
Yeah, I did a little bit. I went through a period actually on those pictures I posted the other day of my transformation of kind of losing a bunch of weight. And I noticed there was a yoga mat in the second picture. And I was like, oh yeah, I was doing a bunch of yoga at that time. But it was kind of that same thing where I had certain videos I liked that I found on YouTube, and I was kind of watching them over and over again. And it got kind of repetitive. And and I find there's something really nice about, you know, like when I do classes with Anna or with Heather or any instructor that's doing it live, like generally it's like something a little bit different every time. And there's something about being present with the flow and tuning into that specific, you know, chain of movements. And
it definitely makes it feel more fresh.
Yeah. And I think that something that's really special about yoga is like you can take it to that more fitness focus, like strength. And I mean, there's so many beautiful things because it's good for strength, but it's also good for stretch, you know, for expanding in both ways, like the constricting and the expansion. But in the mind, I think something that we all struggle with in today's world, especially, is like, you know, sitting with more stillness, like learning to move slower, learning to be like more present with movements, learning to be like conscious of the breath. And especially, I kind of want to touch on this with you too. I forgot to say at the beginning of the show that there's absolutely no falling over allowed on this show. So you and I have talked a little bit about your habit of falling over, and that's something else we connected on. We both have this history of kind of checking out in various ways. I've heard people call them seizures or epilepsy, you know, whatever. There's different names for this. But I feel like something like yoga would be the perfect practice to help with that, with a health in that kind of area. Because I see this ailment as something that has to do with like a very overly active, perceptive, sensitive mind, which is a beautiful thing. But yeah, do you want to share a little bit about that, your history with that roller coaster?
Yeah. Was there anything in particular you wanted me to start with?
Whatever you feel called to, you know, I like hearing about it because it helps me understand myself better, because I have a little history with that as well. But yeah, whatever you feel called to share about it, I would like to hear about like things that you feel have helped you.
So, just so everybody listening understands what Desert Dave means by my habit of falling over, I'm medically diagnosed epileptic. I don't really like the name. That's why I kind of always kind of share that phrase that I have a habit of falling over. But I had my first seizure when I was 16 years old. It was grand mal, and it was at my school library. And luckily I was with a friend who, of all the friends I could have been with, was probably the best one to be with. Definitely like a Boy Scout mentality kind of person, and definitely probably the one who would have stayed the calmest during such a situation. And then I would end up having my second grand mal seizure about a year later, after already being enlisted in the United States Marine Corps, sitting there with the recruiter and my father, and it kind of changed the course of the direction of my entire life. And then over the next couple of years, they just kind of ramped up. They got more and more severe. You know, I couldn't drive. And just physically, mentally, emotionally, it's been an incredibly painful journey. And it's not fun to talk about. It's probably not fun to hear. But I'm one of the reasons I want to share about it is simply to kind of get the education out there, I guess, get the awareness out there a little bit, because oftentimes it can be seen as almost like an invisible disability. You know, I'm walking around, I look like a normal guy, but before you know it, it's like, oh, there's a lot of things that I'm just like, I can't push myself too hard or too far to certain extents. And I've definitely learned those limits. Still learning those limits. But, you know, the like big one is diet, for example. If I go down a bad path for too long with a bad diet, I'm going to start seeing the consequences of it. The yoga and the breathing, it's a great practice, like you were explaining, for that kind of struggle, that kind of trouble. I think it really helps me like just remain calm, because you start to kind of feel like your brain's firing off just nonstop. You can't keep up with it. And I think the thing that it taught me more than anything is I don't have enough time. Always running out of time. It's probably another reason why the Bitcoin thing made so much sense.
So when you say you don't have enough time, do you feel like on a day-to-day basis or something, you don't have enough time to do what you want to do? Or are you talking about like you feel limited to the amount of time you have in this body? Or what do you mean by that?
I guess both of them. I think for a long time, I've just been scared. You never know when the light's going to turn out. Mm-hmm. You never know when it's going to go black. And I've experienced it a couple times to the point where you know that it's like, oh, this is actually real. This can happen. And with the number of seizures that I've experienced, I mean, quite honestly, I'm pretty lucky that I'm still alive. That I haven't had it as any severe accidents that have kind of like put me out for the count.
Yeah.
So I think I've been dealing with that fear for quite a long time, for the past decade because of this. And I think I'm getting past it. I think I'm growing past that. But I'm sure that regardless of anybody's situation, that's something that we all feel at some point, is just kind of like this fear of like, am I doing the right thing? Am I spending the time right? Am I going to have enough time?
Well, I feel like those types of fears are a lot of what might keep you in a place to be kind of inviting that type of experience. Not to say you're inviting it consciously, but you resonate.
No, I see what you mean
with it, as like, because like for me, the more like I get obsessed with efficiency. Like it drives me nuts if I feel like I have a misstep, or like I'm like, oh, I could have done that like this in this order and it would have been like more efficient. Like I get like so obsessed. And I feel like the more I kind of let go of some of that fear of constraints on my time and just like let things be what they need to be, like sometimes I'll have a set of goals lined out for a day. Like yesterday I was kind of changing my solar setup around and had to move some panels, and I was going to move some miners and do all this stuff. And I was so excited, and it was like, got to be like 5 PM and I had been working all day and my body was completely beat. And it took so much to like, say, it's okay that you only got 90% there. Like, just let it go. In fact, this morning I debated whether to get up at 4 a.m. and get to that work or whether to go to yoga. And it was such a good thing for me to say, you know what? That stuff can wait. I'm going to go to yoga, take my time, prepare for the podcast. But it's been a real, it's like my mind is really attached to like being obsessed with time and how long things take. But I think giving up that fear of having that restriction and kind of, on some level, all of our fears at the root, I think, is fear of death. It sounds kind of corny to say, but I really believe that's true.
Even
like fear of ridicule or whatever, like, you know, it's like we're tribal creatures and we want to be part of something. And so on some level, there's a fear. And when we're in a place of fear, we kind of invite ailments or disease or whatever our particular struggles with our human form are. And I like hearing about what, you know, like you've really taught me a lot about, you gave me kind of confirmation about what I was experiencing, because I hadn't really talked to people about my experiences with having seizures. And it's just kind of interesting to connect to someone else and kind of understand the frame of mind around it. Cause it's like something that if you haven't experienced, if you're just seeing it from the outside, I mean, what does that look like to somebody else? Like, they can't possibly understand.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That, I mean, it's crazy if you've ever seen someone have one, mm-hmm. but you know, I've had a couple where I'm conscious during the first like half of it.
Oh, wow.
Those are probably like the most severe. I mean, that's probably the scary ones right there.
Yeah.
Cause you feel like, I feel, you know, you feel your neck twisting. You feel like you see, you know, your view is changing and there's like nothing you can do about it. And you don't even know why it's happening. And to be honest, if you can even form the right words in your head, thinking about it while it's happening, that's probably very rare. You know, you're just going through the experience.
That makes me think of like my experiences with mushrooms and other like plant medicines or psychedelics or whatever. Like there's like a point where you can kind of be really deep, but you're unable to like unattach from the experience. Like that's why like Terrence McKenna is a big like advocate for like, if you're gonna have mushrooms, like you should go big. Like, don't go like part way, because you could kind of be in that. It's like you're having this physical experience, but your mind is still like too present. Whereas like the one grand mal seizure I had, it was fine. Like after it happened, I was just like, oh wow, my mouth is bloody and my tongue was all cut open. But I was like, I didn't feel bad. You know, it wasn't that scary to me because I wasn't really present for it. It was terrifying for my wife. But so I can't, you know, like, we kind of talked about how sometimes, you know, well, like you just said, like being more present and observing yourself going through this thing and being kind of present in the mind could be like the worst kind of version.
I mean, it's definitely something I wouldn't wish on anybody, not even someone that like I have a lot of reason to be mad at or dislike. I mean, it's just something you wouldn't want anybody to have to experience.
Yeah, I agree with that to some point. And then, but also like in my healing journey, kind of like learning to understand myself, like I seriously feel like I'm kind of past that part of my life. And, you know, things could happen, it could change, it could happen again. But I feel like now I can look back on those experiences and see how it like made me stronger. But at the same time, I agree with you. Like, I wouldn't want anybody to go through that. So it's kind of a weird, I don't know, because with challenges and like hard experiences, like that tends to be what helps us grow. And it's like when you told your story to me about having, you know, your second seizure ever in front of your recruiting officer. And I was like, oh, it saved you. Right. And it's like, that wasn't your perspective at the time.
Not right at the time. No, but I've heard that said about it many times since at this point. But I remember like back in high school when it happened, and like my best friend and, you know, his family, they were more like liberal, like left leaning. And I remember them kind of saying that same thing. And I'm like, you know, I'm sitting there like, no, that was my future. Like, like you kind of just like insulted me to like the biggest, like in the biggest way possible. And, but nowadays I probably look at it the way that, that you guys look at it, you know, it's like, oh, thank God. Like, you know, not that that would have turned me into a bad person, or, you know, who knows what that version of me would look like, but I definitely wouldn't have been this version, and I'm really happy that I get to be.
Yeah, and it's it just is what it is, right? I mean, I think so much of the human experience is about coming to peace with what is. It's like, if I were to be hung up on all my mistakes and missteps and things I've done quote unquote wrong, like, dude, I would be a miserable person, because I've done a lot of stupid shit in my life. Like, you know, it's like, we could just talk about Bitcoin. I could talk for hours just about the stupid things I've done with Bitcoin. I had a goal of having 10 Bitcoin at one point in my journey, and I was close to that goal. And now I'm excited to be mining 5,000 sats a day. Like, to me, that's like, hell yeah, like, I'm killing it, right? Or if like oh, Freedom Fries Zap 2100 sats, I'm like so stoked about that. And to me, that doesn't feel like $2, that feels like 2100 sats. But point being is, like, I think that's a big part of like the healing journey, is like learning to have peace and not have any regrets, and understand that our path was exactly what it needed to be to get us to where we are now, and then figure out how to have gratitude for that. So in talking to you, it's like, and from my perspective, maybe being a little further down the road in some aspects, although it's not like we've had the same experience. And when it comes to seizures and stuff, you've had a lot more challenges with that than I have. So I can't really speak to it directly, but I can say that I believe that your gifts also are kind of equated to those challenges. Like, there's something about that that makes you special. And the more I think we have gratitude for those experiences, and the more that we understand that it's like, okay, that's like, this is part of what makes me special, and this is makes me unique. And like, that gratitude helps release some of the fear. And then we get to kind of lean more into that creative, like, higher mind self over the fearful, self, you know.
I mean, I definitely think I'm a more grateful person than I was a couple years ago, and not to sound arrogant, you know, because who knows what I come across as on the other side, you know, somebody else. But I've tried really hard in the past like 3-4 years here to become more grateful for the things that I do have, and I think more good things happened to me when I started looking at them that way.
Right. Well, I mean, I definitely think that's the case, because we're, you know, I believe that we are all the source of our own kind of reality. And like, it's like, if we have a cynical kind of pessimistic mindset, we're going to manifest cynical, pessimistic things. Like, the change comes from within. And that's like, goes on a broader community scale too. It's like, you don't bring in the new world, the new value for value Noster connected Bitcoin economy space by like watching the news and hoping somebody adopts it or something. You adopt it, you take on that mindset. And, you know, I think that's true at all different levels. And at some point in this journey, like, we become more abundant in our mindset and more grateful. And then that's kind of when we can transition into having more, you know, I don't even really like the word wealth, because I think people equate that with like having a lot of money or like a reserve or something. But it's just like really day-to-day abundance, like knowing that our needs are going to be met and knowing that we always have enough.
Like, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have enough food. I'm not going to be worried about where I need to sleep tonight.
Right.
No, I have clean, I have access to clean water, and then everything else on top of it is just kind of like a bonus.
Definitely. And it's interesting too, because another transition, I think, in Bitcoin where you can tell the difference between, kind of like you're talking about Twitter versus Noster, like people that I think have really adopted Bitcoin on the deeper level, they like tend to go back towards living simply. It's like, instead of chasing a Lambo, they're going to like buy a Toyota Camry or something. Like they, you know, it's like we tend to like realize that our energy is valuable and that we want to be mindful of how we spend. It's an interesting thing. I think living simply is a big part of kind of elevating ourselves as humans. Cause it's like, it's again, it's like, are we overrun with distractions? Are we constantly like seeking something? This kind of goes back to the yoga thing. Like I've recently started practicing candle gazing with my wife at night before we go to bed, instead of like watching TV and like sun gazing when the sun comes up or goes down, and all these things that like slow down my mind that kind of get me more present in my body and feeling myself seem to put
sounds like something I need to do.
Yeah, I like highly recommend it. It's been super transformative for me, especially the sun gazing. The flame gazing is a new thing, but it's like, oh my God, like we've only done it a few days, but I feel so calm just for like 10 or 15 minutes. Just look at a candle and have that be the last thing, instead of, you know, we used to like always put on some TV show or something and fall asleep to that. And I just think it puts me in a much more like peaceful place for sleep. And the sun gazing too, you know, it's best like, you know, like as you get used to it, it's like I can do it longer and deal with brighter lights now. But at the beginning, it's like just like right when the sun's barely coming up or going over, you know, I mean, everyone loves watching a sunset. It's just that. But like with the real focused intention, like actually staring directly into the sun, I think it's a beautiful practice. I definitely feel like it would be helpful in calming your mind. So I feel like I relate to you on some of the things that may bring those issues about with falling over and whatnot. I don't know. It's been super awesome getting to chat with you, Dan. It feels like I'm making new friends on Noster for real, and that's super important to me. I don't generally make friends. Like I have like friends from high school and stuff that I don't talk to anymore. I've kind of disappeared from all that. But they're like the type of friends that if I talk to them, it would just kind of feel normal because we have so much history. But I haven't made a lot of new friends. And I feel like Noster has really helped me connect with people that I actually can enjoy talking with.
Kind I would of, agree with you. I feel like I'm in the same boat. You know, it's like, oh, I got a bunch of old people, but it's not like we're connecting over much nowadays. If we did, you know, it's just same old, right? But at the end of the day, it's like, I think especially with the whole Bitcoin Noster thing, you're going to start seeing who you have, like, your principles aligned with. And I think that's what's kind of happening for me right now, is I'm meeting a lot of people who I'm like, okay, these are all the people where, like, I, you know, we all kind of thought we were alone. And then when you get here, you start meeting everybody, you start talking to people, you start sharing the interests that matter to you. You know, you start becoming a part of the community. It's not like where, you know, social media platforms, you feel like, okay, like there's the people who have the followers and then there's everybody who uses it to follow them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's a game. I'm kind of tired of the games.
Yeah. I'm tired of the games. I kind of just want to like, build my own thing.
And even within the Noster space too, it's like I still feel like I'm trying to find a certain subset of those people that kind of want to have these types of conversations. But definitely on Noster, there's like way more people that are kind of like already crossed that hurdle, and they're like focused on building and figuring out what they have to offer. just like you're building Bread and Toast, and I'm doing this podcast, and we're getting the yoga thing going, and I love seeing what's happening in the music space. The other day I just shared helping my brother get set up with his band and Dirt Moon, and it's so cool to like put something out there like that music and see it actually show up on the main page of Wavelake because it was newly released and it's not like competing for space against like thousands of other things, you know. It's like you don't have
right. You don't feel like you're fighting for the hill.
Yeah. So it's like such a beautiful time to have a voice, and like there's so many opportunities right now. It's like if you're like someone who can build apps or websites or something, it's like there's so many things yet to have been built that are going to be built. It's like a renaissance, you know. It's just kind of it's like a weird thing because it's kind of a secret that most people don't seem to know about. but watching it unfold, it's just like, it gives me so much joy seeing everything everybody's working on. Everything's getting better so fast. So I would like to see if there's any additional questions from anybody, whether it has to be, you know, whether it has to do with what it's like to have a seizure and fall over randomly, or ask Dan about Bread and Toast.
Well, I'll just say thanks to Pup for his message there. He reached out to me yesterday, and I think he just found out that I'm the Bread and Toast guy. And he also found out about my plumbing account. So he was just very supportive, really wonderful to get to talk to.
The product, I assume he's talking about Bread and Toast.
I just have a comic that it's just a single image comic for the most part right now, but there's various art pieces that kind of build up different things. You can go to breadandtoast.com, and that's where everything's located at. Everything I post for Bread and Toast goes straight to Noster first. So Noster's priority.
Do you want to speak on the inspiration for it? You talked a little bit about the backstory, but I don't know if you said specifically.
No, I won't go into that right now.
That's top secret. That's part of the big vision.
Yeah, that's for a couple years from now when I've gotten really good snacks.
What are your special diets? How do you think about your diet to help avoid falling down?
So I've definitely realized that sugar is my biggest weakness, and unfortunately it's also probably my biggest vice. I don't like to be one of those annoying people who's like, yeah, corner of our diet, you know, you got to do the keto over and over, because that's I'm kind of sick of hearing people say that to me. But that is kind of the regimen which I stick to, especially when I'm at my healthiest. So like if I'm just eating like steak, beef, ground beef, eggs. And I get all my eggs from the Lost Sheep Ranch. You can find them on Noster. I don't know if they'll ship you eggs yet, but that they're local to me, and I get all my eggs paid with Bitcoin.
Locally, you pay for eggs with Bitcoin?
Yeah, it's
that's amazing. So,
yeah, and you can check out the Lost Sheep Ranch on Noster. But that's where I get my eggs from. And, you know, just it's open range farm fresh eggs. So it's definitely, I think I'm getting better quality meat nowadays too.
So I'm curious your thoughts on this, because you mentioned sugar. I think like most people can agree, like there's a lot of ways we think about what we should eat, and there's a lot of different opinions and stuff. And I have my own version of that, but I've had quite a bit of different parts of my food journey. I've eaten raw, vegan, I've done meat only. I've had unhealthy times and healthier times and ups and downs and stuff. But I think most people can agree that sugar tends to be pretty damaging in a lot of ways. And I've heard people comment like saying that eating fruit is just like eating straight sugar. And I'm curious your take on that, because I don't find that to be the case. I find that I can eat like plenty of fruit and it doesn't affect me the way it would affect me if I was eating like tons of like refined sugar.
So I look at fruit as sugar. However, yeah. I don't look at it like I do processed sugar. You know, because when you're getting sugar from some cardboard box snack at the grocery store, I mean, that's going to be a heck of a lot different than me eating like a couple strawberries.
Yeah.
I can do a couple strawberries and it's going to give me like, oh, it's going to perk me up. In the past year, one of the big things, one of my big go-to for me, since I have such a weakness for sugar, is I keep a lot of orange juice around nowadays. And I like it with a lot of pulp, so I try to get as much pulp in it as possible. I don't fresh squeeze or anything right now, but maybe one day. But it's just like, it's such an easy substitute for me. It's like, okay, cool. That way I'm not eating chocolate. That way I'm not eating ice cream. I'm not eating some cake or pie, because I really am. Like, I have such a weakness for it.
Yeah, I love orange juice. And I eat a ton of fruit. I don't really have a lot of restrictions on what I eat anymore. One big difference that I feel like is like with fruit, I can eat like a little bit of it and then I feel like satiated or satisfied. Whereas with something more processed, it's like I get the feeling like there's like never enough. And I'm like with breakfast cereal or something, like it's like, oh God, I just want like all of it.
And, yeah, give me the whole box.
Right. And like our chocolate or donuts or something. Like, I feel like that's a key difference to me, is like with something like fruit, I can eat a certain amount, but I don't feel like I can really overdo it.
No, it starts to get to be a lot. Like, you feel it, but not in the way that you feel like when you eat the process, like a cookie. Like, if I'm eating a thing of Oreos, that's the first thing that came to mind.
Right.
Not that I eat a lot of Oreos.
I can kill a bag of Oreos by myself. For
right. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, you know, I can eat like a whole thing. And then like, I'm not really going to feel it until like an hour later. And then like the rest of my day is gone because I eat that. Right. Like, I'm just like, oh man, I can't, like, I don't want to do anything. But when I eat like a massive amount of fruit, what ends up happening is I get kind of satisfied. I think that's the right word for it. I get satisfied.
Yeah.
When I'm eating the Oreos, yeah, like it's flavorful in that way. Like, that's why I'm eating it. But it's not satisfying like that natural feeling.
And it's hard to eat something like fruit to the point of where you get sick. Whereas with Oreos, like, definitely. Like, I'm going to eat until I'm sick and then continue eating.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting for me in the space, because a lot of people in the Bitcoin space are on the meat diet, you know, or there's like a ton
I'm very
of,
meat.
There's yeah. like a I'm ton of meat. That. And I went through a period probably 4 or 5 years ago where I was doing a pretty strict like one meal a day, and it was like a big pile of beef and buttery vegetables and bacon, and like I was basically doing a keto thing, like low carb vegetables and tons of butter and ghee and all that. And it was so good for me at the time. Like, I cut so much fat and I felt so good at the time. And before that, I had gone through periods of like kind of vegetarian stuff and vegan for a while and raw. Like, when my kids were young, my wife and I were vegan for a long time. And I've landed in this place where I don't like really have any one particular way of eating. Like, I'll eat whatever I want to eat, but I find myself very rarely doing meat or dairy anymore. And I don't really do eggs anymore, but it's not like I have like something against them. It's just, I feel like food is a journey. And I think sometimes we get too hung up thinking one way is the right way. I really think that everybody's body is kind of like at a different place, and we're all kind of like, I really think it's like a journey, and there's different things that are good for people at different times. Although there do seem to be certain things that are like, you know, like most people could agree, if you eat nothing but donuts, that's probably not great.
Like, but eventually it's going to catch up to you.
Yeah. But I tend to kind of see things through a different lens nowadays, where I'm kind of thinking of like the vibe. I think of where things came from, and I'm so compassionate for animals that I think that's a big reason why I don't feel really big on eating meat anymore, is like I wouldn't really want to do the hunting and the processing and stuff. And so that, to me, like, I think everyone is a different type of human, and some of us have more of that instinct inside of us. And that's just not personally where I just don't resonate too well with, like, especially like factory farm stuff and everything. Right. And like, I would be more likely to want to eat meat if I was interested in going out and learning to hunt, but it's just not something I'm called to do. But eggs, I've done up until recently. Only recently did I cut out eggs. I've really enjoyed eggs most of my life.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever give up eggs.
They're pretty solid. I mean, and that's also another thing that I could eat like tons of, and it just feels like it gives me strength. It, like, I don't feel like I can ever kind of overdo it.
I had like 6 this morning. Like, that was my breakfast. It was like 6 eggs with like a, I think it was like a teaspoon of butter and then like some onion.
Yeah, I've definitely enjoyed eggs most of my life. I'm probably influenced quite a bit by my wife. She's been more strict with the kind of vegan kind of lifestyle for pretty much her whole life.
I couldn't do that.
She's carnivorous. Now, don't say never say never. You know, people change, but again, I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I just think it's interesting. I'm not someone who likes to ever claim that any one way of doing anything is right or wrong. I just think it's interesting how we're all kind of on this journey together, and, you know, we do what we do. Well, I really appreciate everyone coming and the interactions with y'all. If there isn't any last minute burning questions, we'll probably shut this thing down and get on with the day elsewhere. And I have the same issue when it comes to thinking about it. Everyone cares about dying, convinced that they have. Yeah, I definitely agree. Cause I think people forget about, easily forget things. Cause I've been around now for 41 years. And I remember when diet soda was the thing to do, right? Like, I remember when it was all about like, oh, buy skim milk because fat makes you fat. Like, there's been so many ways that the mainstream has portrayed food. And in the Bitcoin space, it's like, oh, only eat steak. And it's like, I'm not saying that's not right for other people. I'm just like, I don't think that's the only way. I don't live that way. And I feel very healthy and I feel very powerful. And I'm not suffering from low T because I eat soy sometimes or whatever. Like, there's all these narratives that are like just a little bit silly to me. And I don't think we should get too hung up on any one of them. I think the most important thing is that you like have a connection with your own body and you recognize when things feel good or they don't feel good. And when we're like, you know, obviously abusing ourselves, like, that's obviously not great. Like, eating a whole thing of Oreos, which I've done many times, that's like, or a whole carton of ice cream.
Right.
That's like strictly like that's flat out self-abuse, right? And that's like, you know, that's something to look at, but I don't know that it means I can't ever have ice cream or eat an Oreo, you know?
Oh, not at all. No, yeah. It's just, you gotta have enough self-discipline or else you're going to fall into a continuation of bad habits and you will see the consequences of that.
And hopefully enough self-love, right? Because sometimes I've been really good at white knuckling through something. Like, I put myself into a place of discipline, but then it's like a rubber band. Like, so like, say I'm doing something really strict for a couple of weeks and I'm like, I'm going to do this thing. But then I finish that thing. Like, sometimes fasting, I've done that. I've done up to like 5 days fasting before. And then it's like, and then I want to eat everything. And, you know, so I think the biggest goal for me is like having enough self-love to where I just don't hurt myself with food and other things too. I tend to I get really obsessed with stuff. Like, you know, when I was a pot smoker, I would go way hard on that. I've done it with food. I've done it with alcohol. I used to be kind of a binge drinker. But learning to love ourselves, I think, it can be challenging. Got to come to peace with all of our little fun, little idiosyncrasies and things that make us unique. And I think it helps us connect with others too. I think help, like, connecting with others and opening up to others starts kind of with the self. At least that's been my journey. The more I learn to, like, accept who I am, where I'm at, the more I'm kind of able to show up and connect with you guys. And
I think the self-acceptance has been huge.
Definitely. I'll learn to
know. Yeah, I mean, I know what it means to hate myself. I've been there, you know. I still have moments, but
yeah,
you get to, if you learn how to love yourself and how to, like, more listen to your body, I guess, then your body's going to tell you kind of like what it needs, what direction it needs to go in.
Yeah.
You just got to be willing to listen. And that's the hardest part.
This is getting a little into the weeds or whatever. Like, so for me, my phase where I was eating a lot of meat and on that path, that was like some sort of cleansing for me. It's hard to describe, but I felt like I had to go to that place for a while to dissolves, I don't know. Like, that was part of my purging and part of, like, letting go of certain things. And then, like, fasting played a role in that, because I just feel like I couldn't even feel my body or know what I wanted. Like, I didn't even really know what felt good, because I was, like, chasing stimulation so much that I was just really unclear about what actually served me. And I don't know. I think that journey looks different for everybody in terms of kind of feeling into their body. For me, like, the meditation and yoga and then the plant medicine work and sun gazing, all that, like, plays a role in quieting that mind. I think that's the key. I really think that's, like, what the seizures are about. I think it's, like, overstimulation and just, like, a busy ass brain.
I have no argument. I think you're kind of getting spot on to the core of it all.
So we're all doing our best, walking each other home, walking this journey together. Some of us are extra cool and we hang out on Noster and do stuff like this, like y'all. Thanks for showing up. Swinging
Bitcoin.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I love being part of this world. It's like, I feel like I finally have an online community that I can enjoy and connect with, where people speak my language. And it's just really exciting. And this has been a blast. Really appreciate y'all showing up. Thanks, Dan. Be sure to check out Dan's stuff, breadandtoast.com, and look at his Noster profile. He's got a couple different Noster accounts he runs on there. Go check out what he's doing creatively and keep doing your own creative thing. Follow your passion. Let's put more time into doing what we want to do and less time into giving ourselves away. It's time to stop being slaves and follow our hearts, I think. Thanks, you guys. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for the opportunity, Dave.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.